I'm going to be reading this morning from Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. Beginning at verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, Take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterwards shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Excuse me. The Kenites and the Kenizzites, the Cadmonites, the Hittites, Perizzites, the Rephaims, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. So may the Lord bless his word to our hearts. We'll be looking at that portion in just a few moments. Turn once again to Genesis 15. These next chapters are very important as we think about God making a covenant with Abraham. And this is something that we find throughout the entire rest of the Bible. It colors everything. The covenant that God made with Abraham is very, very important. And here in these chapters 15 through 17, we find a clear explanation of this covenant that God made with him. And we find the great truths of salvation revealed in the New Testament. This covenant regarded the son promised to Abraham. But it also concerned the coming of the future son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. It regarded the land promised to the Israelites, but also the salvation promised to all those who have faith, like Abraham. Abraham is the father of all those who have faith, according to the Scriptures. So we find here the Lord's covenant that he made with Abram. This is right after Abraham had defeated the kings. You remember they came in to Sodom, four mighty kings and their armies fighting against the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah and the other cities around there. And they took Abraham's nephew Lot with them as a prisoner, and he went with his army of 318 servants that he had, along with some other neighbors, and defeated the army, and brought back all of the captives. And then he had, you remember, the king of Sodom came out wanting to give him a special reward, but he refused to accept it because of the ungodliness of Sodom and of its leaders, and he wanted God's blessing instead. And then we notice this a man, Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God and the king of Salem, of righteousness and peace, a mysterious person that apparently God had sent out to meet Abraham to encourage him, brought him some food to eat, the bread and wine. And Abraham gave him a tithe of all that he had, showing the greatness of this man Melchizedek. You remember we talked about that quite a bit last week? And Jesus, our blessed Savior, is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And that's an interesting study. I noticed online this week, Pam had put some things on there about Melchizedek, which I'm sure are very interesting. Just tune in on our Facebook there and you can see what she had, and also you can re-listen to the message, if you like, from last week on the Internet. At any rate, we find here now, after all that is over, God has a special meeting with Abram. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. You know, throughout the Bible we find that God spoke in different ways. It tells us that in the first verses of Hebrews. In time past, God spoke through the prophets and through visions, through dreams and other ways. But in the last days, he spoke to us in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But here we find Abraham receiving a message from God, his word spoken to him. And the Lord says to him, first of all, fear not. Fear not, Abram. He says, you have no reason to be afraid. No one is going to harm you. You're in my hands, right? God says, I've got you. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. I am your protection and your provision. I can give you exactly what you need to keep you. You don't have to depend upon the king of Sodom. I will reward you. I will help you. I will be there to protect and to guard and to guide. It says in the New Testament, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So here we have a promise from God, a beautiful promise that he gives to this dear servant of his. Don't be afraid. I am with you. Your shield, your protector, and your reward. I'll give you all that you need. So Abram says, verse 2, Lord God, what wilt thou give me? I don't have a son. I don't have a child, he says. I go childless. You know, think about this. I think Abraham is getting a little bit, restless and wondering, Lord, when are you going to answer your prayer, this prayer? We've been praying now for years and years and years to have a son, right? He and his wife were getting older and older and older. No son. He says, so, what am I supposed to do? He says, my heir is this person from Damascus, a steward in my house, Eliezer. But he's not my son, you know. I want someone that from my body, from my my own heir. And God says, oh, well, Abraham, just simmer down now. Don't get excited. He doesn't say that, but that's what he means. Behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this shall not be your heir. And Eliezer is not going to be the one. He's not the one I promised you. But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. You're going to have a son. You and your wife Sarah. He explains that later on. They tried all kinds of things, you remember? But he says, no, you and your wife are going to have a son. Believe me, trust me. And so he brought him forth, and he says, look up in the sky. And you can imagine out there in the middle of nowhere, right? They look up into this the sky when it's all stars are all out there, and he says, okay, count the stars. How many can you count? Can you imagine this man standing there trying to count the stars? Thousands and millions of stars that you could see and others that you can't see. They just go on and on. It seems like forever, right? And he says, so shall thy seed be. Now, what kind of faith would it take for a man who has no children to believe that he's going to have so many descendants that you can't count them? And yet, who's doing the speaking here? Almighty God, right? He's not going to lie to you about it. He's not going to fall short of his promise. You know, we read in the scriptures all the wonderful promises that God makes. We wonder sometimes, how can it be? You know, is it really true? When's it going to happen? You know, Lord, you promised. I'll supply all your needs. Is that really going to happen? Or am I going to be left destitute someplace? You think God's going to leave you destitute? No. He's promised. He'll protect you. He'll watch over you. He'll help you. And he tells Abram, your descendants are going to be as numberless as the stars. He already told him before, it's going to be like the sand that you see out all around you here in the desert. You're going to have so many descendants you can't possibly count them. And what does it say, verse 6? One of the most important verses, I think, in the Bible. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. See? Abram put his faith and trust in God and in his word. He believed him implicitly, and he received the righteousness of God. That's what it takes, isn't it? He promised him that he would answer all of his prayers and so forth. But here we find man's part is to believe, right? God is the one. We talked about this in Sunday school this morning, the power of Christ. And God has to do something first. And then we have to believe. We have to receive. We have to trust, put our confidence in what he says. That's what Abraham did. He believed him. In spite of all the evidence, in spite of everything that was going on around him, he believed in the Lord and had confidence in what God was telling him and knew that he would be faithful and would keep his word. As someone has said, he said amen to what God said. That's what it takes, right? God says, this is the way it is. You just simply say, amen. Believe it. Trust it. We have the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We trust that we are saved by believing in him. He took our sins upon himself on the cross. He said, whosoever believeth in him hath everlasting life. Do you believe that? Say amen. Amen. There it is. And believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's what he tells us, and we can trust him for that. We can put our faith and trust and confidence in him. This is what the children of Israel did when they were accepting the law of Moses. In Deuteronomy 27 and verse 15, here it talks about they were listening to the man reading the law. And verse 15 says, cursed be the man that makes any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and puts it in a secret place, and all the people shall answer and say, amen. See, that's it. Just agree with that. And then in verse 26, cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say, amen. I agree. Yes, I accept that. Yes, I believe. I trust that God's word is true. Now let's look into the New Testament for a moment. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And beginning at verse, let's begin at verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he has whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. There's that verse again. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describes the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness without law, without works rather, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Look down in, let's see, verse 10. How was it then reckoned? This is talking about the, I should have read verse 9, I guess. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? The circumcision were the Jewish people, the uncircumcision of the Gentiles. For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. There it is. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? No, not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. In other words, this was before Abraham even went through the ritual of circumcision. It had nothing to do with it. It was before the law was ever given. And yet God declared him righteous because of his faith. Because he put his faith and trust in the word of God and believed him. And he is the father of all of the faithful. Verse 16 says, Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So when you look at the faith of Abraham, he is the one, he is our father as well as that of the nation of Israel. He is the father of all those who believe. And let's look at then at Galatians chapter 3. A little bit more explanation here. Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. It says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, same verse. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So here we find it all goes back to that same thing. Abraham believed God. It's counted to him for righteousness. We have to believe God when it comes to the matter of the gospel, receiving Christ as our Savior, and we have eternal life. It's not by works. It's not by anything that we can do. We only respond to that which God has already done, right? We believe, put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus and in salvation in Him. So, we find here this wonderful scripture appears again and again throughout the Bible. That you believe in the Lord and He will account it unto you for righteousness. Then we find this, in order to seal this, you know, a covenant back in those days, an agreement that two people would make with each other, they would always have a sacrifice that they gave to make it sure. You know, back in the old days here, it used to be that you could just shake on it, right? And it was all agreed. Or you sign on the dotted line, right? Something has to happen to make sure. And back in the days of Abraham, they offered up this sacrifice. And it mentions here what they are. A heifer of 3 years old. I don't know what the 3 years has to do with it. But anyway, a heifer, a goat, and a ram, and then a turtle dove and a young pigeon. These all had to be laid out in a certain way. And then those who were doing the covenant would walk between these animals that were being sacrificed, and that would seal the contract, right? That would make the covenant valid. And but here, we find that the Abrahamic covenant is an unconditional covenant. Abraham was not required to walk between the sacrifices. If you read the rest of that passage, you see here that he went to sleep, it says. Notice verse 12. When the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. So he had this awful sense, probably of the presence of God coming, and he went into a deep sleep. So he wasn't able to do his part in walking between the sacrifices. So what does it say here? It says that, where am I here? Verse 17 it is. It came to pass that when the sun went down, okay, and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In other words, this speaks to us of the presence of God. The smoke, you remember, over in Isaiah chapter 6, where it talks about the smoke filled the temple, you know, meaning the presence of God was there, and this burning lamp, the light, God is light, in Him is no darkness at all. And here we find that it symbolizes to us that God was making a covenant that He was going to fulfill, and that there was unconditional. Abraham was not required to do anything to maintain this covenant. Now the law, you remember, was a conditional covenant. It said, you know, God set up the law. He told the people, if you obey, you'll be blessed. If you disobey, you'll be cursed. Right? So that's a conditional covenant, right? But here Abraham was not required to do anything in order to maintain this covenant. So it's all we have to do is put our faith and our trust in the Lord. And He's the one who works things out for our benefit. See? And that's the reason we say that salvation is by grace through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all it takes. And then, of course, the good works come in after, right? Abraham lived a very righteous life. And he followed God and he sought to do His will. He failed a couple of times. He made some mistakes, and we'll see that a little later. But along the way, he was determined to follow the way of the Lord. And this is the way God wants us to be as Christians. To seek to do His will, to bring honor and glory to His name. You know? It's not that we can put our faith and trust in Christ and then just, you know, go and do anything we want to do. God's not going to permit that, you know. We're saved, yes, saved by grace. Praise the Lord for that. But you try to live an ungodly life as a Christian. I don't advise it. God knows how to get the paddle, you know. He chastises us. He wants us to walk in righteousness and truth. And He gives us the power to do that. We have the Holy Spirit living within us to guide us and help us and lead us. And we have no excuse for going out and sinning against God deliberately. We need to walk in fellowship with Him and enjoy all the benefits that He has for us. But here we find the amazing thing about this, that God did not require Abraham to seal this covenant. He did it all Himself. And it's just the same with us today. It's by grace that we're saved. God is the one who has initiated salvation. He's the one that will carry it through. And the Lord Jesus has provided it all for us. And all we have to do is accept it, believe it, and walk in fellowship with Him. So verse 18 says, in the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. So the Lord's telling Abram, one of the main provisions of this covenant is for the nation of Israel, for your descendants. They're going to inherit all of this land, all of these different, it mentions all these different names here. These are the people that lived there, right? And he says, you're going to get all the land that they presently have. And that's when, you know, Joshua went in, and they went into the Canaan land and defeated all of these different kinds of people, and took over the land. God gave it to them, and then they conquered the land, and they are still there today. The nation of Israel is still enduring. They only have a small portion of the land that they will have when the Lord comes back again. But right now, God is protecting them. He's kept them down through all these ages. And we need to be praying for Israel. It says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, right? Pray that God will continue to bless and help them, and that they will honor Him. We know most of Israel today has gone back in unbelief. And there are some that are coming to know the Lord Jesus as their Messiah, but many more that need to make that step, to take that step and to believe. They're still depending upon themselves, many of them, for their own salvation, and they need to put their faith and trust in Christ to give them eternal life. But here, this is a wonderful covenant that God has made. He says, unto thy seed I have given this land. And we as Christians, as we read a while ago, also are the spiritual seed of Abraham. He's the father of all those who believe. And we are heirs according to the promise. So by faith, we take possession of all that the blessings that we have in Christ as sons of Abraham. You know, you read the genealogy of Jesus, he's one of the son of Abraham, right? And we follow in his train. We are blessed indeed through all that God has done for Abraham, and through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have all the blessings that we need. So we can praise his holy name for that. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for your word to our hearts this morning. We trust and hope that this word will encourage us and strengthen us, that we know that we have salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Your word is true and faithful. The promises of God are sure and steadfast. And we thank you and praise you for all of that. And pray that you'd help us, Lord, not to be slothful, not to be indifferent, not to be idle, but to be doing those good works that you have called us to do. And we pray that we would be faithful and follow in the way of righteousness and truth and seek to bring others to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us, we pray. Bless your word today. Speak to us and teach us what we need to know. We pray in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.